Okay, so today is Tuesday, May 4th, 2021. It is currently 7:20. There were 32,500,000 cases in the United States, which have resulted in 577,000 deaths. In Wisconsin specifically, there have been 662,000 cases, resulting in 7,567 deaths. On a brighter note, 105 million people are vaccinated currently in the United States. So can you begin talking about where you are located currently and then just give some like demographic information, your name, your gender, and just kind of things like that?
My name is Linda White. I am a female, a mom. I am in Altoona, Wisconsin. And let's see, what else did I need to tell you?
If there's like any other demographic information, if you want to talk about your ethnicity or your race or anything like that.
Just white female, white single female. Yep, that's perfect.
And then, so what does your day-to-day look like currently with COVID? Your day-to-day, like work, social life, anything like that?
Work has changed. That's been the biggest change. Instead of going into an office every day to work, I get to work from home, which has actually been a really exciting change for me. I have always worked in an office and always been surrounded by a lot of people. Being a people person myself, I always enjoyed going to work. But at this point in time, we were all told to start working from home last April. And at first, I wasn't real sure if I wanted to work from home because I like having the people around me and networking. But once I started working from home, I absolutely love it. And I recently just signed a document for work saying that even if the COVID does go away, I will want a permanent stay-at-home work position because I find I'm more efficient, more effective, and working from home has been a great opportunity. Something that at first I was very hesitant about, and now I'm happy to know going forward I can still keep this position at home. So,
can you kind of start by describing what your job and like responsibilities are exactly?
Yeah, I can't go into too much detail just because of privacy, but I do work for a bank. So I work for a bank here in town, and I do a lot of lending and processing and paperwork and documentation and compliance stuff for that. So, yeah. So
how long do you think that transition kind of to feel more comfortable working at home where you started to realize you were more productive? Like, was there a gradual change or was it kind of like sudden? Like, when did you start to feel more comfortable at home and start to like?
Well, that's a great question because at first when I came home, I was kind of nervous about setting up my computers and my two big screens and just making sure that my technology and Wi-Fi and everything at home was okay. And once I got it home and set up, I'm like, oh, this is going to work. This is going to be okay. But we weren't sure how long it was going to last. So I set it up on my kitchen table and just thought, okay, we're going to see how this works for a while. Well, then I had two daughters in college. And guess what? Their housing shut down and they both moved back home. Mm-hmm. So they're home then all of a sudden and there's extra noise and commotion in the house and they're doing schooling and they're doing Zoom calls and people in and out. And actually what I did is I packed up my computer and went back to my office for about a month. Okay. I thought I don't want to work at home. There was too much commotion, too much interruptions all of a sudden. And then they're like, nope, everybody needs to work from home. Well, at that point in time, one daughter moved to Rochester, Minnesota, and one daughter moved into her apartment in downtown Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And then my house got quiet. And I thought one thing I can't continue to do is have my work on my kitchen table because having my work on my kitchen table took away from family supper and family time and sitting and playing board games when the kids come in. So I'm like, had to set up a designated area so work wasn't the center of our kitchen and the center of our life. So that helped then when I moved back home, back to working at home because I had to. And it changed because the situation at home changed. And then because I was able to remove it from my center of my kitchen and my life and put it aside and just really dove right back into it and then realized as work too, they gave us office phones. They helped us realize that we needed to make this more of a permanent solution for everybody. And with that, we brought home our office phones. My job was wonderful and gave us everything we needed and then some, and had IT support come to houses and homes and say, okay, let's check it over. Let's make sure, work with your internet provider, make sure that's fast, is strong enough, everything that we needed. So that was really a nice tool. At first, it was a Band-Aid fix because it all happened so quickly.
Yeah.
And transition. And then it kind of went to, how can we really make this successful? With doing Zoom calls, Microsoft Teams, you know, a lot of things went through our cell phones. But then again, like I said, they had us bring home, they assigned us each a nice office phone now. So we have our direct lines from work now coming through that instead of through our house and through our personal lines. And then by setting up a separate space in my house that, you know, that's my workspace. No one else can touch it. That's when I'm going to sit down and work and focus. That helped too. And now just working through it and getting more comfortable with it. And I've been doing my job for a really long time, like 20 years,
okay,
knowing it so well. And finding out that, hey, this is really kind of nice being at home. So, yeah.
Prior to COVID, was that an option for you to work at home, or was it really pretty much everything based in the office?
That's a great question too, because probably about 6 months before COVID, they had just started exploring that because some people were thinking about doing that with a couple coworkers who were out on maternity leave. They set them up as temporary work at home positions for a couple of my coworkers who had children, and they're like, well, if you want to come back part-time, we can set you up, you know, kind of, and test it. So they were testing it prior to COVID, but nothing was really in the works. And it just expedited, obviously, with the situation with the pandemic. So.
And then prior to COVID, did you have any experience with, like, Zoom or, like, Teams or any, like, was there any collaboration online for you, or was it a lot of, like, in-person conversations that you were having?
No, because we have different branches in the state of Wisconsin. We would do a lot of, you know, virtual board meetings and things like that, or group meetings in different areas. So we did do that in the office, but we do it so much more now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there any, like, really sudden changes or any, like, confusion between people when you kind of had to do all your interactions through online, or did people kind of had, like, a little bit of experience into it that made it easier?
I'd like to think, like, technology-wise, I'm pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my coworkers weren't comfortable with it.
Yeah.
What I found, people don't like to read. People don't like change. People resist change. And you could see the difference in sometimes the generation, sometimes in people's attitudes. Some people who, like, yeah, let's do this. Let's figure this out. Let's make this happen. Other people are like, how do I do this? What do I have to do? So the key was keeping a positive attitude, reading, finding out, researching, and testing. You know, this can work. That can work. What technology is going to be the best technology? And we've started with Zoom. We moved to Microsoft Teams. It's just testing and figuring out what's going to work the best. So yeah, it's been interesting, and you can see where some people thrive and some people struggle. And but it's a lot of things. We started doing a lot more stuff electronically. So, you know, we're paper and documents, and now just learning different programs in general.
So you just talked about you signed a paper, you signed some documents to stay at home. Are other people moving into the, like, office again now, or when did that transition begin?
Yep. A lot of people, some people were elected to go back into the office, depending on, like, the position with the bank too. Depending on your position, you know, if you're more with customers, more forward facing, you need to be in there. They open the branches back up at the bank so customers can come back in instead of just using the drive-through. Some people have done 50-50 work from home, and then we also have set up satellite offices.
Mm-hmm.
We also, some of us have been given laptops. So if we're traveling, we can access work through laptops. And then just different ways and uses of technology. From our phones to our laptops to iPads to, you know, I have two big, beautiful monitors, which I love. Really kind of picking and selecting what's going to work for each person and what style of work they want to return to. So I feel very fortunate that the company I'm at is forward thinking and allowing people, if they're successful at working at home and not the distractions. But like our company said, yep, we want to come in and check your workspace. We want to make sure it's confidential, it's safe, it's secure. They did tell people with parents with children, you know, childcare would need to be set up. If you had elder parents at home, elder care would need to be set up. And they did give us, you know, hours of the day to be on the computer. And there is a little leeway in there. But it's, again, keeping the business hours and being accessible at that time. But also having a little more convenience working at home, too. So.
And then you talked about, like, the monitors and the phone. Did you start with, like, the two monitors, or is that, like, a – do you think as you stay at home, your office space will continue to grow during this time, or do you think
– I don't want any more than two big giant monitors.
But do you think that's, like, really helped in your productivity, like, being able to get those resources from your company?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I work for a very, very good company who puts their employees at the top of their game, and they want their employees to succeed so the company succeeds. I mean, you know, they've told us, you know, let us know if you need pens or pencils or post-it notes. So that's really nice. I mean, that's something that they wouldn't have to do, but they do because they care about it.
Working with finance, do you think it's still confidential at home? Do you feel like it's like set up to still like protect customers at the same level that they did when you were at work?
Absolutely. We have a really, really strong IT department. We have rules and regulations that we have to follow, you know, locking our computers. We have tokens and passwords and so many different things to sign in and sign out of. It's not just, oh, hey, your computer's on. Okay. There's layers and layers of protection. Yeah.
Perfect. And then do you have anything else you want to talk about employment, or would you like to move towards family life? Because you brought up that, like, having two daughters return home. Would you like to move towards that now?
Sure.
Yep, okay. So how was that transition for your family, like, when COVID started? Like, people coming back from, like, another state even, like how, just like talk me through like that experience, because that's like different for a mother than like probably a student or someone else without children.
I think it was hard on everybody. My oldest son had graduated college and didn't get the job that he had wanted and went to college for and had to move back home. So that was a hard transition for him. My middle daughter was a senior at Winona State as studying nursing, ready to take her nursing boards. And she had signed a contract to work at Mayo in Rochester and was supposed to be up there in May of 2019. And she was devastated in April when they said, you know, we're shutting down. We're not going to take new nurse techs. We're just, her, that was her world crashing. You know, she made it through college in 3.5 years. She was excited to leave Winona, go work at Mayo, and, you know, grow. And all of a sudden, whoa, halt. She had to move back home. You know, no one wants to move back home after being out at 3.5 years of college and thinking forward, thinking she was going to be graduating college, going to work at this great place. And then all of a sudden, wow, COVID hit and you can't come nurse for us. She had a job at a CNA back home, but then the nursing home she was working at as a CNA said, we're cutting all our staff. We're making this very minimal. We don't need you. So here's someone who went to nursing school, had to move back home, which she wasn't happy about, had to pick up a job at Menards. Just totally devastated, upset, not happy to be back home. You know, missing her college friends, ruining her last semester of college. Her world was flipped upside down. And it was hard for her. It was hard for us. And all as I could do as a mom was to pray for her. God, let's open these doors back up for her. And then, you know, I told her, you got to choose. And she needed the job. She needed to work. So she took the job at Menards, which they were good to her. And she got in and started working right away. And that kept her busy and keeping her mind and her body busy. And then still finishing her classes. And then prayers were answered. And then July 1st, Mayo called and she moved back to Rochester. You know, it was a 2-month delay, but she got her nurse tech job and has been moving forward ever since. So that was exciting.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. My youngest daughter, Melissa, was a freshman at UW-Eau Claire, and I think it hurt her the most. She didn't want to come back home. She was just making friends in her dorm. She was just experiencing clubs and activities and, you know, just figuring it out what college was like and what college is supposed to be and, you know, going on campus, making opportunity, meeting people. And then all of a sudden, I think she was probably one of the last people to move out of the dorms to move back home. And that's hard. That's a hard transition, just getting your wings and having them clipped and going online classes. I think that's been the hardest thing. And then now her sophomore year of college, everything has been online.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes more time for all these students to study more, read more. It's a whole different world. It's a whole different learning curve. They're missing opportunities on campus. They're missing connections. She's very fortunate that she has a job that she's had for a number of years at Culver's, and that's been her social and her friends and her group that's kept her connected. Mm-hmm. You know, she had opportunities with TV10 on campus where she was going to do some sideline reporting for the Blue Golds football games that didn't get to happen because the football games didn't happen. So that's tough. As a mom, I just sit back and she's thriving. She's happy. It's not the college experience that her older brother and older sister had, but everything happens for a reason, and she's doing great, straight A's, and happy as can be right now. So
that's great to hear.
She's surrounded by good people.
That's wonderful. So at the beginning, as a family, how did you guys kind of come together to, like, go from all spread out to, like, not drive each other like crazy, I guess? Like, having an online school, you have to work simultaneously, like, how did you kind of find a balance as a family?
And like,
was that possible, or was it just like making it through?
It was kind of a constant little struggle, because then we're all like, are you kicking me off the Wi-Fi? Who's on the Wi-Fi? You know, one daughter set up her workstation in her bedroom at a desk. One daughter set up a station next to me at the kitchen table. What time is your Zoom call today? I'm going to close the door. Keep the dogs from barking. It was kind of a three-ring circus, because then they were all home. Their friends were back home from college. So they were coming. They were going. They were all three working jobs. My son was working at Quick Trip and working overnights. Amanda was working at Menards, going in at 6 a.m. I said we had all three shifts covered, because Zach was on the night shift at Quick Trip. Amanda was on the AM shift and would go in at 6 a.m. at Menards, and then Melissa would work at Culver's in the middle of the afternoon. So it was like a three-ring circus. We didn't know if we were making breakfast, lunch, or dinner, who was doing, you know, laundry machine was constantly going. And that was a hard transition for me. All of a sudden, they were all gone, and they were all back home. Implosion, right? So, but because they all miss each other and they all love each other, it was also kind of fun to see them all come back together and to hear their conversations and to see, you know, what they were doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know what all this was and how it was affecting them. And just watching them manage their time, their days, and everybody just kind of pulling back together as a family unit as to where they were each at and what was going to happen. And it was a crazy hectic schedule, but they're all there for each other. My kids have always rallied and supported each other. So that was good, but hectic, not going to lie, but crazy fun. And glad they're all back on their own again.
Yeah. So kind of going off of like the work, it was at the family and at home, you had to just kind of like try and keep that silver lining. Would you agree? Mm-hmm. It's just like trying to stay positive and being able to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess you can kind of expand. So everyone's leaving the house, or how has it changed kind of coming into like when I'm interviewing you today is a lot different than probably if I interviewed you a few months ago. Like, how is like your household began changing yet again with like the vaccine and just like more opening, less restrictions, getting the job at Mayo, stuff like that?
Yep. So Amanda has stayed in Rochester at Mayo, and she moved from nurse tech to registered nurse and ended up getting her dream job and has been working up there and has her seeing her as a registered nurse and hearing what she's experiencing from the COVID unit and COVID floors. And that kind of helped all of us understand the COVID shot. And she was probably one of the first ones to get her first and second dose. I had a health scare through the COVID, and with that health scare, it actually made me healthier because working from home, I could get up, stretch, exercise, and have a little more flexibility and actually get my health back in order and have less stress. So I went through a lot of stress, less stress, get healthier. And then with my youngest, she's just learned to kind of be resilient, I guess is a great word. And manage time management has been a huge lifesaver on her part. And just really digging deep for all of us as to where we are, where we want to be, and also makes you really love and value, you know, a hug from your kids walking in the door, or my parents who are 78 and 83, being able to give them hugs from that first initial, here we're running out of toilet paper and Kleenex and sanitizers, dropping off that, but not being able to hug your parents, to seeing my parents hug their grandchildren again. You know, it really makes you realize who's important in your life too. So was it a good thing? Was it a bad thing? There's pros and cons to all of it, because I think it brought the people who you want in your life even closer. And then it also helped you kind of block out the noise and the clutter and what's really not important, you know? So, yeah.
That was really good. So kind of going off of like stress, you talked about your work environment. Do you think coming home was, is it less stressful working at home? Being able to wake up and stretch and kind of like do your day a little more free than.
I can really focus on my work. And not get pulled in. I help a lot of people at my job not get pulled in so much. So I can really focus on myself, which has been nice. You know, I think that's been a key too. You know, just getting up, moving around. The other thing that's changed, I think, the most in last year is going to church. I'm happy to say we're back to church. It's we still are wearing masks in our church. But, you know, church changed, Sunday afternoons changed, so Sunday mornings routines have changed, but with our faith, we've all made it through this, so.
And then you talked about your daughter being a nurse at Mayo and, like, the COVID clinics, so I think a lot of, like, interviews and probably perspectives of nurses have been heard, but how is, like, the mother of a nurse, like, how do you feel about your, like, daughter, like, were you scared, are you still scared, are you feeling better with, like, the COVID vaccine, like, what was your kind of viewpoint of having someone in the field that you loved and cared for?
I was very proud of her. Very, very proud of her. You know, she was doing the nose swabs and going out in the field and gowning up, and very proud. Yeah, of course, always worry, always scared for your kids, but you have to give that worry to God because he's in control, right? And you don't want to know, have anybody you know get sick and be in that pain and have that. There is so much unknown, but knowing that she's surrounded by the best resources and the strongest and the smartest in the medicine and in the nation up at Mayo, and because I've been up there to visit her and I see how that area is so, you know, wearing their mask and conscientious of it, that she's surrounded by the best of the best, that I know she's okay.
And then how did your association with, like, the community, you talked about going to church and seeing your parents, how drastic was your change, like, being able to interact with people? You got your kids back, but did other kind of other family members, you started to have to wait to see them or had to be more cautious?
Yeah, for example, I had a nephew who, him and his wife were expecting a baby. And we did a Zoom baby shower. So my parents came over and sat here with me at home in front of the screens. And it almost brought a tear to my mom's eyes to see, you know, family in Atlanta that she hadn't seen. And, you know, just to see everybody on the screen, you know, here I've been using it all the time for work, but for her to see it and to experience it, that just the different technology and the different age groups was kind of cool. You know, for work, you know, I used to go to a lot of business after hours, a lot of meetings, a lot of lunches, a lot of different things like that. And all that has come to a halt. The going out to eat has changed. The, you know, recently we went back to a movie. Going to a movie theater has changed. So it's just made you appreciate things when you can do them again. And actually haven't missed as much as what I thought I'd miss. So,
Kind of going off of that, going to the movies, going out to eat. When you weren't working at home, what kind of activities were you doing to, like, keep yourself busy? Like, were you watching more TV? Like, what kind of new hobbies, like walking, running, anything like that?
Walking, biking, taking the dogs on the walks more often. Funny, even this morning, I went for a walk at 6:30 this morning. I went for a 3-mile walk through town, ran into two neighbors that I hadn't seen in a long time. I mean, one that probably lives a couple blocks, you know, west, and the one that lives, and here it was 6:30 in the morning. Would I normally have been out walking? No, but I've been walking and exercising more, and I ran into two neighbors that I hadn't seen for a while. So it's kind of funny how doing new habits, you reconnect with people in different places again. So,
yeah. And then kind of going off of you being able to experience more of the community, meeting people walking, how do you believe the city of Altoona has been, like, affected by COVID? Like, do you think it's been, like, worse than, like, what you've read about the other parts of, like, the nation? Or do you think Altoona did a pretty good job of, like, maintaining it? Because you're, like, right next to Eau Claire as well. So you kind of have that overflow.
Like, a couple things that, like, kind of hit close to home last year in Altoona in June. They always do Cinder City Days, right? Mm-hmm. Which is like the city parade, the carnival, the grilled chicken, the fair, the car show, the craft fair. I've lived in Altoona for, gosh, since 1993, a really long time. And I always looked forward to that in the summer with the kids going and doing that, the ball tournaments, things like that. They didn't have that, of course, this past year. Christmas lights, just different things to help raise money for the community. This year at Christmas time, they did a Christmas tree lighting. You could buy a light to represent someone in the community. Mm-hmm. I bought 3 red lights, one for Zach, Amanda, and Melissa, a red light on the Christmas tree to help raise money for the Altoona Lions. That does a lot for the community. Things like that have changed. I actually was just reading today that now June this summer, they're going to have live music back in the park. Mm-hmm. They used to do yoga in the park and concerts in the park. And, you know, none of that got to happen last summer and last spring. So it would be nice to see that come forward again and happen again, to see those events happen, to see people come out and, just come alive again, I guess. The farmers market's coming back, things like that.
Okay. That's really nice. Like, that's like a really positive thing, kind of going off of like the vaccine and like a bright spot that we can focus on in a second. But towards the beginning, did you feel like people had different views on COVID, like wearing masks and stuff like that? Like, did your neighbors or other people you interacted with, did you kind of have like a united sense of like what it was, or were there a lot of different perspectives that you were hearing?
When it first happened and we kept hearing about it, mm-hmm. and then they're like, okay, the office is going to change them. We all thought, this isn't going to come to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, across the seas. This is a big city problem. Well, then all of a sudden we're like, no, this is in the office. This change is going to happen. This change. And I can just remember that day when that email and those calls and those conversations started happening. You know, you could see the resistance, like, this is not going to happen here in Eau Claire. But sure enough, it did. It altered and changed all of our lives. And yes, I work with some people who are still, I almost hate reading about their social media posts and their Facebook posts, the anti-vaccinators, the what's really in this vaccine. And I think either you're really for it or you're really against it. And it's been ugly. But yeah, even in my office, even with people I work with every day, you can still see the struggle. Some people are like, I'll never wear a mask out in public. I'll go get my doctor to write something up saying for my mental health or health, I don't need to wear a mask. I have someone at work who won't wear a mask to save her life or her kid's life. And she thinks it's a government control thing. She thinks it's a conspiracy. It's interesting to see and hear the different perspectives, the different generations who believe in vaccines and don't believe in vaccines. You can see the fear in some people when they talk about what's in the vaccine, and other people who are like, no, we need to do this. The herd immunity, it's interesting to see all the different perspectives, that's for sure.
Yeah, I guess let's kind of continue talking about the vaccine. So you talked about your daughter was probably one of the first people because of her occupation. Did you get the vaccine as well?
Yep, I sure did. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And
my parents have, I have.
Before you got the vaccine, were you worried yourself? Or like, what kind of information were you receiving before you got it that like made you feel comfortable or made it seem like the right thing to do?
I just having the faith in it, mm-hmm. and knowing that my daughter had the knowledge on it. And there's always that fear, like, did the vaccine come too quickly? But then you have to have the faith in, you know, the FDA and the people and the systems and everything that it had to go through, all the testing it had to go through. Yeah, it came through fast. Yes, there's unknowns and there's going to be uncertainties on it. But whenever something like that happens, I don't know. Yeah, there are scary thoughts on it, but you can't live in fear. I think that's something my dad has always taught me and my kids. You can't live in fear. You just got to keep moving forward and pray for the best. So I'm glad I'm vaccinated. I'm looking forward to go see my great nephew next week for the first time to meet him, and he's 3 months already. Mm-hmm. So I want to get back to a little more normalcy. I want the future to look bright for education, for the future teachers, for the kids who are in school. That's the other thing that scares me. I worry about kids. I hear coworkers who talk about their kids are driving them crazy. They hate helping their kids with their homework. Their kids are not learning anything. This is stupid. I worry about kids who aren't being loved by their parents at home during this time. I worry about kids who are being abused. I think these kids need to go back to school. You know, there's so much that's going to unfortunately come out of this COVID situation, that the debt to America, the stimuluses, the checks, the payment protection loans. Mm-hmm. There's so many unknowns in our future right now that we just have to know that God's in control and things are going to get better.
And do you think the vaccine can help with that? Do you think the vaccine will come back to like a normal that we had before? Or do you think some of these kind of lingering side effects of just school in general, working from home, do you think a lot of these things will persist? Or do you think we'll kind of go back to prior to 2020? Like, how do you just come in with that?
Change is inevitable. There's always going to be change. If not mm-hmm. this, there could have been something else. You know, there was polio, there was measles, there's vaccines for chickenpox and everything else. Everything has a wave, right? So let's hope this dies down a little bit and we get our little bit of life back.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And then I guess going off of your personal experience with the vaccine, was setting up an appointment pretty easy? Or did you feel like there were a lot of like hoops to jump through and you were a little bit confused?
Actually, no, mine went super easy. I was actually at the clinic at the time and, they said, yep, we'll get you signed up. I went right up to the registration desk. I got in the next morning at 8 a.m. I walked in, and actually when I walked in, there was no line. There was no waiting. I went back 21 days later. I was very lucky and fortunate. I drank my water, took a little Tylenol. Had no reactions from either first or second dose. And I walked and exercised and kept that medicine moving right through my body and feel very fortunate that I did not have any ill side effects. So taking those two shots first having COVID, that was all right for me. So mm-hmm. It's such a tiny little needle.
Yeah. Did your parents, were you familiar with how your parents got registered? Like, did they have a similar process? Because I know like at like the school, a lot of it's like online and everything. So do you think it's easy for multiple generations?
Which is funny. That's a great question because my parents had been calling and calling one of the healthcare centers here in Eau Claire, and they kept leaving voicemails for a person, and no one kept calling them back. So finally, I said, Mom, I'm going to go online and register you. And then the next day, they actually got a call back. So we kind of laugh about that. And we're like, well, their voicemails never got returned for 2 weeks. Then one day I said, let's just register you online. And the next day they got a call and we're registered. So did that help? Did that not help? I don't know, but they got in quicker. So, yeah.
So that's really nice. And then kind of there's probably a lot of government kind of stuff that goes into like those calls and probably with the health. Do you feel like your local government did a good job of like educating you about it and like telling you it was there or like the local clinics or everything?
Like, is there kind of a push of like? You'd have to be living under a rock if you didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm. And you turn on the news, you read the paper, you turn on the radio. That's all we've been hearing about is the cases, the, you know, how to do this, what's happening next, what's going on. So yeah, I think there's been more than enough media and knowledge and information on what's going on. Yeah.
Then at the very beginning, did you feel like the response was quick and the correct one, or were you kind of a little uncertain at the beginning of just like what the government was like trying to do or like what rules or like how you should kind of go about life? Like, should you stay at home? Is everything okay? What messages were you getting there and how was that making you?
I think there was just, some people we were all kind of just in denial. Okay, how bad will this really be? Will this really affect us? That all depends on how you want to take that information in and be, you know, open and receptive and honest. And it's like any news, you can hear the extremists or the minimalists, and I think you just got to weed through it and take what you want and just kind of watch it fall out. No one knew what was going on. If it was healthcare, if it was government, if it was, you know, restaurant owners, small business owners, you know, college students, I think everybody had an anxiety and an angst of how are we going to get in this? How are we going to get out of this? And what's going to be the repercussion? Nobody can predict the future.
Mm-hmm. And then kind of with COVID, did you have anyone in your family or anyone close that really dealt with COVID? Like any, like, did you know a lot of people that were getting sick, or was it more of like a distance thing? Like where you were hearing more about the news, but not actually like seeing people catch it like that you were close with?
You know, I think, you know, I heard a couple stories from my daughter up in Rochester, my daughter in Eau Claire. Her and her boyfriend, you know, they had to quarantine for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So it, you know, you hear stories like that. Counting my blessings, nobody, no family member, no relative, no close friend was sick or hospitalized. So that's a huge gift and a blessing right there. That family that you love, hold dearly, everybody you know is pretty healthy. So I guess that's the shining light that nobody we know was really, you know, there's a couple of people who were quarantined and I think that made them think twice about things, but, you know, and Amanda's shared some ideas and stories, but all in all, I guess I feel pretty blessed that no one we knew died from it or was, mm-hmm. you know, hospitalized, I guess. So, and, you know, I see my mom and dad who are older and, you know, it slowed them down a little bit. And I, you know, they are home more doing puzzles or jigsaws or card games or, you know, not getting out as much. So we try to keep them at home and we would bring more things to them because we didn't want them going out as much. But, yeah, knock on wood, everybody's healthy.
I guess going out, did it change like how you would grocery shop? Did you go out like different times? Did you like try like new, like, were you like, they bring it out to you? Like, were there any like different policies you were trying with that just to try and stay safe or save time or do anything? Like,
and not even that I don't mind. I still went out to the grocery stores from time to time, but then I did start ordering groceries online. And now just because it's such a time saver and I absolutely love it. I pick up my groceries, boom, you know, order it on my app, pull in and have them loaded in my car. And it's not because I don't want to go to the store. I have gone to the stores, many stores, did my shopping. But yeah, every now and then I do just do the order and pick up, but I still like to go out and see things and be out there. But even when I go out to the mall, there's nothing out there. I mean, all the stores, their inventory is less. So why put myself at risk if I don't need to be, if I can pick something up online or drive and pick something up? Because you see it in the stores, the inventory's down, their sales staff is down. So then I'm like, oh, that's just kind of sad even to go and see that. So why go? But so yeah, the ordering online, that's kind of slick, not going to lie.
Would you have probably done the amount of online ordering or like implemented those without COVID, or do you think you would have just like completely?
Yeah, I know. I think that was definitely a change. Mm-hmm. That yeah, me and the Amazon will not get the Venmo no matter how bad my kids ask me to get Venmo. No. But the Amazon ordering, the Target and Walmart ordering pickup, but still fun to get out and go to Menards and do things too. So still gotta get out of the house. You can't stop living and you can't live in fear. You still have to put on your mask and go.
Mm-hmm. So. Point about getting out of the house. You were talking about with the vaccine now, you're going to plan on visiting like your nephew pretty mm-hmm. soon, who just had one of his children. How did it change your like relationships with your family, being able to see them on like holidays, seeing them in the future now, like more of your distant like relatives, your sister?
Yeah, like this is the first time in years where we didn't get to go to the cities for Christmas or mm-hmm. get together for a big Thanksgiving. Just because, you know, I had a sister who was at high risk and, they lived in Minnesota. We lived in Wisconsin. You just don't want to risk it. And, it'll be nice to have a family reunion again. So when that day comes, it will be really nice. So
do you think you'll have that probably coming up sooner than later? Like the next Thanksgiving come around, do you think it will be more like old times, or do you think there will still be some kind of like caution?
Well, you know, we're already talking about getting the boat out on the lake in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And I just bought a ticket to go to Atlanta to see my brother. Okay. So it's time to keep living. You know, other people I know bought tickets to go to Florida. It's nice to hear the weather's going to warm up and school next fall is going to be back. This UW-Eau Claire students will be back on campus, and let's just hope we're moving forward in the right direction.
And then kind of going off your trip for Atlanta, are you flying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have any caution with flying? Are you kind of excited to like be able to get back out? Like anything to go off of like that trip?
My brother and my brother-in-law fly a lot for work, and mm-hmm. they've started flying more. And what's really interesting about flying, when we were looking at tickets, I said, well, is there a better time, you know, to get a cheaper ticket to fly at this time or that time? And all that has shot out the window, you know, so that's changed because the number of people on planes are different. So maybe a time that you would normally fly, that ticket, you know, that ticket pricing is different now because of everything going on with COVID too. So, I don't care. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I feel like your plane ticket was cheaper than you expected, or is it back up to like normal?
No, it was cheap. It was less expensive, we'll say.
Okay, because at the beginning when it was really starting, you got a lot of reports that the plane tickets were like discounted a lot. So
yeah, they still are. So that's good. But no, getting on a plane, I'm sure they have the cleaning and the, you know, it's been long enough. They'll have the procedures in place. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they've had some time to figure it out.
Exactly.
Do you have any other kind of things to keep in mind for the future? Anything you're looking forward to? Anything that you're excited to get back to that you kind of lost during COVID, or anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we hit it. Okay. Family, kids, education, we got it.
Thank you so much.
You bet. All right. Is that all?